If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the Supreme All That Is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Living on Purpose and serving with impersonal nonchalance. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and present yourself in your whole light beingness. Allow that which is greater, that self that you are, beyond this body, beyond time, beyond the material universes, beyond the phenomenal manifestations that constitute the outer events of daily life. Beyond all of that, you remain unscathed, untouched, and unmoved from your eternal identity as whole source being. Allow yourself to be aware of yourself in that great presentation of divine individuality as a co-worker, a co-creator within the divine realms. Mastering self here in this time-space continuum, but remaining still as the divine perfection, ever full, ever whole, ever complete. Take another deep breath. And allow the activation of your dormant and latent potentiality as a divine being. Call forward, evoke, make room for the occupation of ever greater increments of your true self. Let that sense of knowing begin to close your mind with new thoughts, new ideas. Let it touch your tongue with more authentic speech. Let it close your actions with more sincerity, with more authenticity and effectiveness in service. The body-mind is but an instrument to which God finds a way to touch to these lower worlds and universes of the psychic and material realm. Everything beneath the grand plane of the soul is in a state of becoming. But you, beloved, are emanating from being. Only in time-space does differentiation and growth and evolution seem to have some significance. But these things do not touch you. What is the value, then, to come into a human embodiment? To learn to serve as a humble instrument of that which is greater. That's all. You see, some of us have actually incarnated from what is called the Devaloka, or the realms of the gods and goddesses. And do you know what brings them into incarnation? You'll be surprised. Pride. Pride is what causes the inhabitants of Devaloka, the god realm, to take embodiment in the human form. So you find that one of our greatest impediments to truly being of service is being too full of self-concern and self-focus, and therefore too much involved with ourselves. What we do, what we think, what we believe, what we've experienced. And these are all like subtle garments of the egoic self, the veiled self, let's call it. And so the whole process of awakening beyond the personal, limited self that defines itself as a something in time and space, some label, some point or points of personal identification, complete with the storyline, which enhances that, and the history, and all of that. When we die to that part of ourselves, and that which is greater, the impersonal self, stands forward in its absolute simplicity, absolute naked simplicity, then the greatest presentation of light occurs on the planet. And you probably will not ever have to appear again in this dimension. But the pride of self-definition is the biggest single impediment to many, many, many of us that find ourselves in a human body at this time. Pride of spiritual level of attainment. Pride of spiritual gifts and abilities. Pride on certain knowledge that we may have attained. Pride that we're at a certain level of initiation. And then it gets more and more and more subtle. Very, very subtle. Those little feelings that you're better than someone else, more advanced than someone else, more enlightened than someone else. Or feeling smugly pleased because someone asks you to help them. Or smugly pleased because you don't have the fault that so-and-so has. You've overcome that glamour, that illusion, that whatever. And it goes on and on. And pride is an infection, generally, of the mental body. And the mental body, the lower mental body, the lower mind, the egoic mind, according to Sai Baba, is the very form of the ego. The false self takes the form of that part of us that thinks we know, that thinks we are a something. And of course, within the light worker community, we have so many that have their business cards and their flyers and the things that they use, that we use, that I use, that we all have used, if not using now, to define what we are and what we have to offer. And generally, it's because we have an expectation that people will come to us for readings, for workshops, for seminars, for channeling, for something that we have to offer. But that can become a big, huge, englamored mess in which we entrap ourselves for many, many lifetimes. because we don't realize the karma that comes from working with people where it affects their consciousness and in many cases their very soul's unfoldment and destiny. It's a scary thing to stand forth as a teacher. A scary thing. And we really, as light workers, and I'm speaking as one of you, speaking to myself as well, we need to be so very vigilant that we stay humble and open. I once defined a humility as simply having no will but to do the will of God. Because generally, when you are humble, you're the last one to recognize it. The very last to recognize it. This last few days, I've watched Mother Teresa, the story of Mother Teresa on the Catholic channel that we have here. And I was so moved by her story. I was so moved by her tenacious and relentless insistence upon living with the poorest of the poor as the poorest of the poor and living completely on purpose with that, not allowing all of the people that wanted her to organize and commercialize and strategize and plan and get involved in all the mishugana stuff that has to do with the world. But every time she would refuse, she depended only on the Lord. And oh my gosh, what she had to face. It was like one thing after another came to impede her, to block her work, to defame her, to castigate. But she was so pure of heart and so innocent that half the time she didn't even know what they were talking about. It was so far from her reality. She lived totally in a different plane of consciousness. And her very innocence and purity of heart and simplicity of spirit actually provided her supernatural protection. And it was such a wonderful study of how to be truly living on purpose and serving with impersonal nonchalance in terms of the world and what it tries to throw against us as we try to be of service. So we're here as light workers to serve humanity. Not ourselves, not our pocketbooks, not our press kit, not our organizations, our churches, and all of that. We're not here to build edifices to enshrine our own knowledge and our own whatever. We're simply here to see and act ourselves as soul, to see ourselves as soul, and thereby to see others as soul. That is the greatest service we could possibly render. That's what all the enlightened masters do. That's what the avatars do. They see you as a divine incarnation. But they see it because they are that and live from that state and have identified and become that in their own awareness. So those of us that are in that process of awakening more fully and remembering our divine origins and our divine state in which we reside eternally as one with God, we're still in that process of bringing that more and more into our conscious awareness. So we have to serve and do the best we can from where we are in that equation. So, are you aware of your purpose, your life's purpose? Are you living on purpose? What is your life about? What is your main area of focus and involvement? What has been your line of training, inquiry, your line of most intense focus as you went through your schooling or as you are currently going through your schooling? Where are you being led in your attention? You know, it's much like riding a bicycle. You will tend to veer off in the direction in which you're looking, right? Anyone who's ridden a bike knows that. Even with a car, you know, if your attention is off to one side, you'll find the car starts to drift off to the side of where you're focused. In an exact analogy, your life will begin to veer in the direction of your focus. Inevitably, your life will veer in the direction in which you are focused. So pay attention. Where is your life focused? In what ways are you contributing to life? We're all here, whether we're a person or an element of nature, or a nation. We all have a predestined purpose, an individual message that we are to convey. We are here to contribute to life. And when I say predestined, I don't mean that we're programmed like robots. But when you take incarnation, the die has been set. You have chosen to incarnate for a purpose. And as Sai Baba has put it, you have about as much free will once you get down here as a cow tethered to a tree. You can graze, as it were, in the circumference in which your tether allows you to roam. So the die is cast from the cradle. We have a certain tendency in which we're heading in our life. I thought it was funny. I was reading some things my mother had written in my baby book when I was a baby. And one of the things she said, oh, my daughter is going to become a preacher. Why did she say that? Because I always slept on my back with my hands folded over my chest, like a preacher. And she was a bit prophetic and a bit accurate, because that's pretty much what my life's been about, ministry and conveying a message. So in what ways are you contributing to life? In which ways are you increasing the happiness, peace of mind, and well-being of others? Good question. In which ways are you increasing the happiness, peace of mind, and well-being of others? That is exactly what we're here to do. But do we often think of that as a purpose when we wake up in the morning? So each day, do you do at least one act of pure love with nothing expected in return? Do you do at least one thing? That could be the practice, the sadhana, to do at least one act every single day out of pure love without any expectation of return. Jesus said to act without letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing, or vice versa, whatever. that when you have your recognition here, you have your reward here. But if you act without expectation of return, without looking back to assess how you did or what you're going to get, then you reap the reward on the inner spiritual realms. So that's another thing to think about. So often we do things with that slight little egocentric thought that will be noticed, that somebody will notice that we did this, we wrote that, we said this, we said that, we accomplished this, we accomplished that. Ah, it's so familiar to me because I've done that so much. And it's, you just hate to admit it because it's so petty. It's so conceited. And yet one does it. And you can only think of Paul, St. Paul, who said, "Huh, the good I would do, I do not. And the evil that I wouldn't do, that I do." So what is evil but living contrary to the appropriate state that we could rise to if we just practiced a little more self-scrutiny? If we just were able to get out of that identification with our drama, get up in the balcony, and impartially view the performance on the stage, and very impartially assess whether or not it's in line with the purpose of the soul. Do you know the soul has no purpose but to selflessly serve? That's how you can tell when a person is operating from the soul. They simply serve. That's it. They're not out there to become anything. Their natural behavior is to extend compassionate service and wisdom. That's the soul. Now, what comes of that automatically is a tremendous inner joy. There is no joy that compares with serving. It's its own reward. You feel so happy when you've done a good deed for someone, don't you? When you do something kind and loving that helps another person, don't you feel just absolutely great? So many people are depressed and unhappy and bored and discontented, and all they needed to do was get out of their house, get off their pity pot, and go do something for someone to make their life a little brighter. Anything, a smile, an encouraging word, buying someone a meal, a cup of coffee, giving someone your undivided attention, and just listening without being interrupted by any media. You know, keep that cell phone in your pocket. Don't bring it out when you're with another person. Give them the gift of undivided attention. Look into their eyes. Listen. Sometimes people just need someone to look at them and listen to them and hear what they have to say without trying to fix them, lecture them, improve them, shift their consciousness. You do all of that by silently listening. In Ekankar, they have an interesting way of serving people. It's called, it's simply where someone will sit and listen when anyone comes to them with any kind of a problem. They don't give them any advice. They don't tell them what to do or not to do. They just sit there and listen. But the report afterwards is that everybody feels so much better. Sometimes you have to talk to hear yourself to see more clearly what you're dealing with. So that's one way we can be of service too. Listen and see that person as a soul. But listen to yourself as well. Listen to your speech. Listen to what you're saying to people when you're on the telephone. Listen how you express yourself when you're not feeling very well, when you're a little bit off kilter and you really don't want to be bothered by anybody. How does that affect your speech and your behavior? Do you allow how the body is feeling to dampen your compassion and your love? I mean, look at these things. These are subtle, subtle little areas that every single one of us deals with every single day. So that's our practice. That's our spiritual sadhana. And so are you living your purpose every day, or is it still an ideal floating around in your mind? So gradually, begin to control and corral your thoughts and words and bring them into alignment and agreement with your overall spiritual purpose in life. Make everything line up and serve the purpose that God has placed upon your heart and spirit to manifest in this lifetime. And it is divinely bestowed. And just notice, without judging, just notice if you are living true to your purpose every day in the little areas of your life, in what you do when nobody's looking, in what you do in your room when you're alone. And prioritize, simplify, pare down, eliminate whatever does not serve your purpose. And try to bring in balance, beauty, and simplicity into your life. So, it's good to remind yourself that this too shall pass, whatever it is. It's going to last but for a season and a cycle. With spiritual maturation comes the ability to hold steady during life's inevitable ups and downs. You develop a sort of divine nonchalance towards the karma dramas in your own life and of which this world consists. The whole world is like a stage with all of these little mini dramas whirling around. And it's all karmic action-reaction, all that seems to be playing out on the world stage. Everything that occurs has been set into motion at another time and place by those involved. Some of the things working out right now on the planet had their origin back in the 1400s. Some of the things happening right now. Some of the things had their origin 2,000 years ago. And some things had their origin back in Atlantean times. But nothing happens that hasn't been set in motion at a previous time by those individuals, be they people or nations. There's national karma, there's the karma of the people of that nation, and the individual karma that led people to incarnate in a particular religion, in a particular nation, under a particular political regime. Not everyone is supposed to be living in a democracy. We have to realize that there's not just one religion or one political system or one way of life that fits everyone. Individuality, obviously, is part of the divine plan. And diversity. So we owe it to ourselves to be true to what the divine imprint is upon our heart, our life, our mind, our energy field, and to live that out full on. Get it down in your sneakers and your Levi's. Wear it. Inhabit it. But know that everything that occurs has been set into motion at another time and place by those involved. So the law of cause and effect, reciprocity, or karma, is at the root of everything that takes place in life, whether for good or ill. And awareness of this fact allows a certain calm recognition and acceptance to prevail. Even as you do what you can within your own ability to address and remedy the situations in which you find yourself. If you don't find yourself in that situation, it's because you don't have karma in that area. Okay? So pay attention to your own field. Cultivate your own crops. Do your weeding in your own 10 acres. And have compassion for those that are going through very, very difficult, painful, karmic balancing lessons right now. My heavens, are people suffering. And so let's not add to their suffering by bringing our own laundry list of grievances and miseries and dumping it on the next person that comes into our field of attention. That's so unkind to do that. Sai Baba said that if you have problems, you should never talk about them. Don't pollute the lives and depress others with your woeful tales. That's not serving them. Go to God with your problems, and in every situation, pray. Seek divine guidance. Work it out within yourself. Or go to your minister or counselor or priest or whatever, if you must. That's what they're there for. But as a light worker, we're here to increase the peace, the joy, the light, the well-being, and to usher in a golden age, which can only happen if we're living in the golden light of self-revelation, which comes from union with the soul and the purpose of the soul. So if we're not living on purpose with that, we're running around looking for a place to dump our miseries on or into. And very often, a light worker is the first place that a person runs to when they want to dump. And that's why some of us have a lot of people coming sometimes. The minute they see us, they begin to dump. Or if you're a healer, as I often say, you begin to hear a lot of organ recitals. Oh, this hurts, that hurts. I got a pain here, I got a pain there. You know, if you're a healer, you've heard it all. And so, what do you do in a situation like that? Our single most task is to awaken to our own identity as a soul and to help others to awaken from the illusion that they are in an impaired state, a broken state, a state that needs anything. That's a grand illusion. The ever-full, ever-whole divine self needs nothing. Even if it's in a body that doesn't function very well, for example, Dr. Stephen Hawking, he doesn't for a minute let that body impair him from living on purpose and serving with impersonal nonchalance. It's a good example of a working disciple. Obviously an initiate of some level, living a life that has impacted the entire planet with nothing whatsoever but his brain that works. And I might say, his soul. But just saying, every situation in which you find yourself doesn't have to impede your being of service on the planet. In fact, it may be part of your service. In fact, I can guarantee it is part of your service, just as it is with Dr. Hawking. So the single most telling indicator that one is a disciple here in service is this ability to allow nothing to impede them. They inevitably will find a way to manifest their purpose, regardless of what state the physical body is in, where they are, or the conditions of their environment. They also assume accountability for everything that is present in their life. And at the same time, they adopt an impersonal nonchalance, knowing that everything happens as it must. Every new challenge that arises offers a new opportunity to dissolve the old karmic issues through compassionate understanding, and thereby to heal them. So the old karmic law that demanded justice through an eye for an eye or a life for a life to balance the injustice was superseded by grace with the advent of Christ into this worldly arena. And every time we respond spiritually to a challenging situation, we are choosing grace. The spiritual response is through empathy, communicating, and understanding another's suffering, their position, their plight. Do you think that if we sent a global task force to some of these countries that are suffering so much, before they got to the point of going to war, and simply said, what do you need? How can we help you? What are the situations that you're facing? Please tell us, how are you suffering? And how can we, as your brothers and sisters, assist you? Do you think we'd have any war if we had that approach to one another? Why would we want a piece of land that we could only have at the expense of the suffering and misery of others? Is it not a darkness and an ignorance of demonic proportions to have that kind of mentality, that you could have joy out of the suffering and destruction and misery and killing of others? I mean, that is evil at its worst out-picturing. So again, it's very beneficial to realize that we and everyone on the planet is undergoing the consequences of their own activities in the past. We've set these consequences in motion at some time in the past. We just don't remember them, when or how. However, there is a group called the Lords of Karma who do remember and keep track of these things that each one has set into motion. And they hold each person accountable for their actions in each lifetime. This karmic board is always fair, exacting and just in their appraisal. And as we come before them at the end of each incarnation, we're shown, like a movie, of our whole life from birth to death. And we get to see, full on, the choices we've made and the consequences. Because it occurs at a time, at a not a time, but in a context out of time, such as we know it, you can see the whole life in every little detail in what would seem like a very short span experientially. The person officiating as the judge of the karmic board, who has the final say as to whether one may pass on into the higher realms or need to return for another life sentence on earth, has been called Dharmareya or Dharmaraja or Chitragupta and Yama, among other names, as each religion will have their own name for this person. In the Christian tradition, he's probably been best known as Saint Peter, who metaphorically stands guard at the pearly gates of heaven, holding in his hand the keys to the heavenly realms. It's been taught by the sound current masters that if you are an initiated disciple of a spiritual traveler, you are met by that spiritual traveler at the moment of death, and you do not have to stand trial before the lords of karma and Dharmaraja. That's their teaching. And Sai Baba has said that we will go to the place of our very last thought and most predominant overall focus. What we have as a conglomerate of energy infused with our attention defines where we go when this particular incarnation is finished. That's why it's very important that you know yourself. And to that self, that divine self, be true. That you live on purpose with the highest and best that you can possibly bring to bear in this brief lifetime in which we don't have a great deal of time to do a lot that needs to be done if we're going to make this our final incarnation. So whatever we share, we increase in enlightening humanity. Everything that we share out of our own awakening process is a gift that we are here to give. It's our contribution. It's what we can impart. And the principle here is that we increase in the world whatever state of consciousness we are expressing. Now, right now, humanity is suffering due to two major causes: ignorance of their divine origin and purpose, and fear. For all who see themselves as separate from God and one another, fear is inevitable. So the major antidote for both ignorance and fear is spiritual awakening and enlightenment. As lightworkers, that would be our major objective and purpose, to awaken and increase spiritual awareness wherever and however we can. That said, we can't very well increase what we've yet to experience or realize within ourselves. But we can all contribute some benefit to others from what we have experienced and realized. So your life itself has produced the fruit of your experiences. And this is where you start to share from. The Divine Spirit will determine your listeners. And when you get to that point, when your light is beginning to radiate the quality of the soul, people are drawn to you. People are magnetized into your field who silently or verbally ask for your assistance. And then, in purity of heart, you ask silently, "Dear Lord, take charge here and give me the ability to be truly helpful to this person." And then you listen to them and they will tell you what they're suffering and how you could best help them. Oh, they won't tell you that in so many words, but as you listen, the Holy Spirit will show you what to say and how you can help them. I was very moved by listening to Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk who was being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. And he said, this is how you can help people. That's so sweet. It just really stuck in my mind and heart. When you see someone that is suffering, angry, shouting, whatever, very softly say, darling, I know you suffer. Darling, I am here for you. And with those soft, kind words, you will completely shift the dynamic that could have exacerbated into conflict and fight and nastiness. But who would not be softened by hearing, darling, I know you suffer. I am here for you. You know, if we wouldn't have divorces if we spoke to our spouses like this. And then there's those times when you act out of ego and you're just going like a psycho from hell. And instead of venting and blaming your spouse, you could say, darling, I'm suffering. Please help me. Darling, I am suffering. Please help me. I don't think there would be very many of those fights going on between spouses and lovers and family members if we responded to each other like that. So today everyone is suffering. Individuals, nature, nations, the planet itself. And that suffering comes because of ignorance, man's inhumanity to man, because of ignorance. Because of man's inhumanity to man, man having been given stewardship over the earth, nature is in turmoil and revolts because it has no calm, assertive leadership. We are to be the leaders, the way showers for the devas and the elemental spirits and the angels and all of the various elements of nature take their lead from our behavior. If we're angry and shouting and fighting and hating, we will create fires. If our emotions are all over the map and we're venting and going into depression and sorrow and all of that, we're going to have floods. If morality and the moral compass is so desiccated and our conscience so deadened, we create drought. And so it is man's raping of the earth, taking the oil that's like holding the earth up, supporting it, taking that out of the earth, plundering the other things from the earth, that's causing the sinkholes, that's causing earthquakes and whole areas just to collapse. We don't realize that for every action, there is an equal and opposing reaction. And everything on the planet is happening for no other reason than we're completely ignorant of who we are and not living on purpose. Right now, there are many, many fear-mongering media presentations on YouTube, for example, that are every day, it seems like I will get 10, 20, 30 different people sending me different things about what so-and-so said and this and that. And it's always got some date attached to it, if you notice. There's always someone trying to build up a cause for something horrible to happen on the planet, whether it's Armageddon, a Third World War, atomic attack, whatever, asteroid hit, some Stargate opening, the CERN project, all of those things, as if we didn't have a God in the heaven, as if we didn't have a God within, as if we didn't have a major avatar on the planet, as if we didn't have the world teacher himself living in London, as if we didn't have the externalization of the masters, as if we didn't have the Ashtar Galactic Command monitoring this planet 24/7, as if we had no hope at all. They want us to believe that we're completely helpless at the mercy of someone or something else out there. If you want to be of service to humanity, I would suggest that you don't increase the fear, the distractive controversy, and the many, many rumors that are always going to be broiling and boiling around in the ego mind. Know that the ego mind has no other agenda than to distract you from awakening spiritually. And it does it best by getting you all stirred up about something that somebody said might happen to destroy the planet or to destroy the earth. Let me tell you something. The logos of this planet, the High Council of Shambhala, the High Council of the Ashtar Galactic Command, the full avatar, the Purna avatar, Satya Sai Baba, the Lord Maitreya, the world teacher, and all of the 14-plus masters who have now externalized and are living openly in the outer modern world are not going to allow the destruction of this planet. It's not an option. The Ashtar Command has always kept our highly inhabited planet right now, some 7.5 billion people, from having a major asteroid impact. We have successfully deflected all of the earthquakes that were supposed to have landed, quote-quote, according to the fear-mongers. California in the briny deep, decades back. Everything that has been prognosticated as going to happen on a certain date has not happened. Why? Because there is a higher plan and a higher purpose for this planet and this beloved center of love and light that we call humanity. Humanity is the center in the heart of God. It is a chakra point in its totality in which the love and light of the Supreme Source is divinely designed to be stepped down multidimensionally onto this earth. And through humanity, the golden age will be birthed within a mini Satya Yuga that according to the Vedas will last 10,000 years. That's what's happening. We're moving into the golden age, not a destroyed, post-human, gutted and destroyed planet. Please, if you're writers, if you're screenwriters, if you're writing and producing anything in the media, don't portray those ugly, gut-wrenching, horrid scenarios. You're not serving humanity. You're serving the dark forces. Make your word count to encourage, inspire, uplift, and illumine. Do not waste your precious gifts that God Almighty has given you in bringing more fear and desperation onto this planet. Hold a confident sense of light that everything, regardless of how it looks, is going to work out to the benefit of all of us ultimately. That in the Course of Miracles, Jesus has said that a happy outcome to all things is assured. That the very illusion of death and destruction will simply dissolve in radiant joy and laughter as we realize none of this has happened. None of this has affected or touched the immortal whole life and whole life beings that we are. These are scenarios that seem as real as your dreams do when you're fast asleep at night, but they have no more reality than a dream. Our task is to awaken and to help everyone within our immediate arena to awaken. And in the meantime, to not put energy into things that you do not want to reinforce in your brother and sister's minds. If you increase fear and mental agitation, you will create that karma for yourself. If you make another unhappy, you will have to suffer the very unhappiness you wish for them. And another thing, Sai Baba said that when you see the evils in another, those very evils began to manifest in your nature. That what you see in another, you are reinforcing in yourself. You might say the same thing in the world. What you see in the world, you are reinforcing in your own experiential reality. Wake up. Wake up beyond the karma drama. Go up into the balcony from the higher awareness and see all things as they truly are. Love alone upholds this universe. Love alone heals and balances all things. And it is an impersonal love that holds the light in a very neutral place. And holds the confident assurance that all will be well because all is well. So let it be well with your soul. And see it as well with all souls. And when you look at the news, place the light with these people and these situations. And pray for a happy outcome. For a happy divine grace ease solution. And that we can come together as brothers and sisters living on a very small planet and encourage one another to get in line with that higher purpose and to let it source through them as conduits of love and light and grace and joy and hope and encouragement and comfort into this world. And that's the greatest service that we could do to ourselves and to everyone. So that's what I have to share for this evening. I hope it's been of benefit. I will certainly listen back myself and work on my own self to line up more with the purpose that I have come to serve. So, let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on I, you. On I, you. On I, you. God bless you. Be at peace. All is well. Adonai.